Tariff's argument really was based. Tariff's argument was really based on a very on a very strong point. That is, see, he was arguing against Kuna and Kuna Gadol. That was his argument. What was his argument? His argument was that what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching cannot be Misina, cannot be the Pierre Kuna. Why? Because it's exactly the opposite of everything that we left. In other words, we left the Mitzrayim was a caste system. It wasn't a system of merit. The person that was a higher, more intelligent person, it didn't matter. If a particular Eved was was on a higher level than the other one, it didn't matter. It was a fixed societal caste system. So Korach said, really, that what everything Moshe Rabbeinu taught is correct, but this does not make any sense. To say that a person that's an Amoritz can enter Lesnai v'Lesnim, and a big Talmud Chacham cannot, does not make any sense, because really the system is a system of merit, and it's a system of merit, so then it should go by merit. Korach was not arguing. That's why he argued against Kahuna. Of course, we know a lot of the Chazal really show his motivation, but you have to distinguish between his motivation and the substance of his argument. Yeah, his motivation was to get rid of Moshe Rabbeinu and apparently it would have been successful if it weren't for the Ashgacha. But at any rate, the fact is that his argument was a powerful argument. His argument was that Kahuna does not make any sense in this system, because it's a system based on birthright. And birthright is not merit. And everything we know is based on merit. So his argument, that was his argument against Kahuna in general, and against Aaron HaKayim. Once he held, you manufactured Kahuna, and now you set him up as the Kayin Gadol. It's very, very convenient. That was his argument. So of course he knew that Moshe Rabbeinu said, yep, good kasha, but it's halacha. And that's where it came in with the tzitzis, and his argument there was he wanted to get away from the idea of a pure gzeres hakasam. And he wanted to say that the halacha works more closely with the philosophy than Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us. That was a supporting argument, because that supported his position. But his main argument really was Kahuna is something which cannot be in Klal Yisrael, because it's a system based on birthright, it's not a system based on merit, and we really only accept one thing. We accept the Talmud Chacham. What are you telling me? You can't identify Talmud Chacham? We identify Talmud Chacham readily. Sanhedrin, we identify him. We identify him with regard to certain halachas. You can't tax the Talmud Chacham. You have to make room from certain rights, even the business rights. We identify the Talmud Chacham, such a thing. So you can't argue, you can't identify Talmud Chacham, you don't identify somebody that's born a Kayin. That's not true. But his argument was a very powerful argument. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? Well, let me ask you, what is the answer to that question? It is a very good question. The question is, how could you, what is the system of Kuna? That does not make any sense. Because the Kayin Gadol could be an Amoritz. I mean, of course, the first bias they were Tamei Chum. We try to become a Chalas Tamei Chum. But if the strict halacha doesn't forbid a Kayin Gadol Amoritz to go to Snag Lashim on Yom Kippurim, how is that possible? And the greatest Tamei Chum can't do it. Cannot do it. If he does, it's called Zarek Arvi and Yumos. Chayav Misa. What kind of sense does it make? Yeah. See, the Moshe Rabbeinu gave the answer. Korach tried to anticipate Moshe Rabbeinu. He thought he was going to argue halacha, so he tried to dilute halacha in order to protect himself. But Moshe Rabbeinu did not give that answer. He gave him a totally different answer. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu said like this. Zosasu. Kulachan machtos karchel chaladasa usnu goyin eish v'shim olein kitaris v'fnei Hashem machar. And then he says v'hoyo ha'ish asher yivcha ar Hashem hu hakadosh. That phrase, a strange phrase, should have been written the opposite. It should have said like this.
V'hoyah ha'ish ha'kadosh yivchar Hashem. That's what it should have said. But it says no. V'hoyah ha'ish ha'sh yivchar Hashem hu ha'kadosh. What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Korach? He says, you're making a big mistake. You see, merit is very good, and a Talmud Chacham has a place. But when it comes to Avodas Hashem, there's no merit. Because merit plays no role in Avodas Hashem, because no one is meritorious enough to engage in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing. So, therefore, how do we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through one way. That's it. Why can he serve God? Because he was chosen by God. That's the reason. There's no other reason. It's not merit. You cannot ascribe it to merit, because then you'd be placing a human being in an unreal position insofar as his existence. Because a person's existence does not warrant that. Like the Ram says, a person, when he really is a Chacham, he recognizes he's a Briya Shvela V'Afela Ome B'Das Me'uta Kalo Me'uta. Can such a creature serve God? Absolutely. It's nonsensical. Can't, not possible. Therefore, the only way we can serve God is because Kadosh Baruch Hu determined that we serve Him, and not only determined that we serve Him, but He determined who should serve Him. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu answered. V'hoyo ish asher yivchar Hashem hu ha'kadosh. Why is he the Kadosh? Because it's Yivchar Hashem, not because of that. So, and that idea, you see, that idea is based on the idea, is the whole idea of Yichur Hashem, Because Yichur Hashem means that a person cannot even have any idea. There's no place in his mind that he can grasp HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yichur Hashem. He is different. He's removed from all the creation. He's not in the sphere that the human mind can apprehend. Completely removed. Yichur Hashem. That's why everything that we have, our avoda, revolves around that idea. Since that idea, the idea of Yichur Hashem, is the essential core of everything, so avoda itself becomes logically impossible. And the only way it is possible is through the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why they had to bring the Matos, Mati Aaron, to demonstrate. Show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he chose him. He chose Aaron. And that's why is Aaron called? Not because Aaron is a Talmud Chacham, not because he's a God, not because he's a Tzaddik. But he is the Bechir Hashem. It's interesting. You see the Pesukim corroborate this idea later. Because the Parsha goes on to develop the idea of Kahuna. Not only does the Parsha go on with Kahuna with regard to Avodah, but the whole idea of Kahuna with regard to that the Kohen is a special person. You have to give the Truma, and the Levian you have to give, the whole Parsha, Mishmeres Trumosai, continues, and that's why you have to give the Truma. It's not just Torah objective to them doing Avodah. No, not just Avodah. Every day you have to support it, you have to give the Truma, and the Truma is Kodesh. But the expression in the pasuk is that really sums it up. Even with regard in the area of truma, it says the pasuk says avodas matana et tenes kunatcha. Avodas matana. What does it mean avodas matana? Rashi means the avodas matana means the pasuk zayin amibah yitches pasuk zayin. Ato v'nach v'chatish meres kunatcha mechol zvam zbeach. Means to say why were they zocha? Not because of any kind of merit. Matana means it's given to you. Matana. Okay? So it's totally on the part of the giver. That was the answer that Moshe Rabbeinu answered. A totally different idea. You see, Korach never thought of that. Korach never expected such an answer. Never thought of such an idea. He was not a Talmud Chacham on that level. He wasn't able to think of that. They were surprised. He tried to defend himself the other way from the halacha. You see, Moshe is there because of this, yeah. But he didn't expect this answer because he wasn't in this realm. He wasn't on that level. He wasn't in this realm. But you see, is again that term v'hoyashe yivchar Hashem hu akarish comes up again. Comes up again and again in Sefer Dvarim. What is it? Yeah, b'makom asher yivchar. B'makom asher yivchar l'shaken shmosh. What does it mean? It means that, and the Rav one time mentioned that the Rav Chaim says that even the shita that holds kitcha l'asad l'chol, but the kedushas bechira never leaves. Kedushas bechira is always there. That's true with Kedushas Bechira. And the Kedushas Bechira is the Kedushas Migdash. What does that mean? It means to say that Migdash, the attitude towards Migdash has to be not that we deserve Migdash, not that we have rights to Migdash, but Migdash is Matan. Makom Hashem Yichar Hashem. Simchas Migdash is only possible if a person understands. And that's only possible to understand through Chachmas Hashem, his own insignificance. The Rambam says, "Fear Shvela Vafela, Omei B'Deya Kala Muta." The person is on that level, then he can understand Migdash, because Migdash is the Makom Hashem Yivcha, not because we have a right to the Migdash, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bocher in the Migdash. Is Bechira. The same answer. Moshe Rabbeinu gave Kahuna, Kahuna Midrash, same thing. They're both identical. The whole Avodah to Odom, Avodah to Kahanim in the Midrash, is all because of Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. It means to say that we have nothing to do with it. So therefore, that idea, that concept, be on a level to appreciate that concept, is only through Chachmah. Only through Chachma. That's why you can't give a course on Migdash that would include everyone, be able to have everyone engaged in just like Tam Chacham, as far as Avelos of Migdash is concerned. It has to do with the person's essential core of knowledge, which is the essence of his soul, not simply a group of facts.
Yeah, I just wanted to check to make sure everybody has their mute button on. We're hearing clipping from Rebbe.
Included. That was one point I wanted to mention. There's another point I want to mention with regard to give me another 5 minutes, okay? You see, by David HaMelech also, you see, by the idea of Bechir Hashem, people think that Bechir Hashem is a very important title. There's no question it's important, but it does not reflect, the Bechir Hashem does not reflect on the person. It reflects on the fact that he's an object, which was an object that was chosen by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You see, the same thing David HaMelech said, the by in Shmuel Beis, when the Amaleki, Ish Amaleki, wanted to gain favor in the eyes of David, telling him that he killed his enemy Shaul. So he said, so he tells him over the story, Shmuel Beis Aleph, and he says, So he said to him, you have to tell him the story. So David just tore Korea, and he was mustered and fasted. And then it says, Vayomer, then he went back, he went to the Nara Magidlo, Amy Zelta, Vayomer, Ben Ishker Malekinach, Vayomer, I love David. Eich lo yoreso l'shloach yodcho l'shacheis es Mashiach HaRashiach. You see, what did he tell him? I don't understand. You're telling me he was my enemy? It's true he was my enemy. But what does that have to do? Enemies, these are personal things between human beings, different things, even different levels of human beings. Even if he's wrong. But there was an objective status that he had. Mashiach HaShem. The Bechir Hashem. That's regardless. It has nothing to do with the fact, with evaluating his level. That's not a merit concept. It's a concept of Mashiach Hashem. That's really what he answered. Eich lo yoreso l'shloach yodcho l'shacheis es Mashiach HaRashem. It doesn't know his merit. He probably thought he was a bad person. He probably thought he was my enemy. He must be a Russian. Nothing to do with that. Those are all terms that have to do with that are relative terms. But Mashiach Hashem, that's an objective term. And that's what I told him. How could you have done that? And that's why he yeah. But again, you see, it comes up again, the same idea, because when Dovid HaMelech was Machaker B'cholol in front of the Aron, so it says, V'teitzei Nicho B'ashol V'krasov V'tomer Ma Nechbar Yom Melech Yisrael Hashem Nigla Yom Le'inei Amos Avodav Kigolos Niglos Achad Arekin. It was, you didn't show any respect for yourself in the Melucha. So what did he answer? V'yomer David el Michal, L'fnei Hashem Asher Bochar Bi Me'ovich U'Mikol Beisel L'tzavo Sos Yinogi Alam Hashem Al Yisrael. So what did he say? He said, I don't have, it has nothing to do with the, he didn't mention his merit. Okay? He mentioned the fact that this is an object, I'm the Bechir Hashem, and that is a fact. And the Sikhati was Nehar Hashem. So again, he mentions that it wasn't an arrogant statement. It wasn't a statement that people think, yeah, I'm the one that God had chosen. It sounds like arrogant. No. It's in a contrast. Nothing to do with it. I was chosen. Why? I don't know. That's it. I'm the Bechir Hashem. Nothing to do with matter. It could be the Kayin Gadol could be a total Amoritz, and he is the Bechir Hashem to go with Snaivel Snim, because that's what exists. That's what the Allah did. The Bechir Hashem. Has nothing to do with merit. He'd be the least meritorious, but that's the Allah says. He is the Mashiach Hashem. In that is. But that's really the concept of Mashiach Hashem. That's the concept of Bechira. That's the concept of Makom Asher Yivcha L'Shak Yish Mashah. Makom Asher Yivcha. Is completely emanates from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is eternal. Man has nothing to do with it. Okay. There's another concept that I wanted to mention. That is, a person can't engage, be even involved, even on a minimal level, in the Avelis of Tisha B'Av, unless they have one basic idea, and that is the idea that there was a change, that it revolves around the same concept, but that there was a change or a difference between the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing now and the way it was known before, with regard to Chavon. And that is that originally, before Matan Torah, so Chavon was dependent on the individual. But after Matan Torah, once you have the system of Matan Torah, now,
Once he had the system of Montero, so then the entity of an Ummah came into existence, and the Yochid is not able to separate himself or to isolate his fate from the people. His fate is completely totally in the people, dependent upon the fate of the people. And that's really the idea of the Christian person. And you see in the Piyut, we mentioned this morning, we went to one of the Piyut this morning, that the Piyut of in Tachalna Nashim Piyum Olei Tipuchim, beautiful Piyut, I love the Kalia. It's a very, very sad Piyut, and the Piyut, of course, expresses things that bring out very deep emotions in people. But I'll just give you the essence of the piece. It's really go through the piece. It's based on the pasuk in Echa, which states that the day Nashim Rachmanios Bishlu Yaldehem, that the women that were so that were really of the had the greatest empathy towards their the most empathetic women, they cooked their own children. It's an unbelievable thing. After the prophet itself would say, well, maybe they died natural. The Chazal don't interpret it. The Chazal say that they actually killed them. And the Piyut says that way. It says there is a medrash there, by the way. And Rebbe Lord Kalei is based on the Midrash. It says in Tvashelno, yeah, right, I'll get to that. But on the Nashim Rachmanios, it says in Tvashelno Nashim Rachmanios Yaldein Amidudim, because it's Olei Tikuchim. It says Olei Tikuchim. And one says there was a woman, a wealthy woman, that had a child, and every year she'd give to the Beis Hamikdash the increase in weight. So you see that she loved him so much that, you know, that she gave to the Mikdash, every time she's so happy, he grew, that she gave to the Mikdash money, gold. So she killed her child and ate. So as based on the pasuk and Chazal and the beloved Kalir elaborate. He says in Tiba in Teham Nazul Mazu Bo Unvashlas Baneu. So, I mean, there's a lot here that the Navi is teaching us. One thing the Navi is teaching us is that there are people in life, their anchors in life are certain emotional attitudes. And that's really this giving their security. That they feel that they can't, that certain things will never happen. Like this, one of the strongest things is the feelings of a mother towards a child. That's like that's like something which people feel is like a foundation of the earth. You know, it's something that, and people feel a certain security in the attitudes that people have towards each other, and people think that these laws are like immutable laws. But the Navi tells us, first of all, is that that's not true. The only immutable laws are God's law. Man's emotions are not immutable. Man's emotions are one in a certain frame of mind. There's something with it which they could imagine is absolutely impossible, but through a deterioration of the state of mind, they could reach a totally different state of mind where it seems plausible. And that's really what the Navi is teaching. Yidei Nashim Rachmanios Bishlu Yaldein means that all the Rachmanis and all, no matter how powerful that emotion seems, you think it would be impossible to see that mother consuming a child. No, that in fact it happens. So the Navi, that's one thing that the Navi taught. Of course, the Navi essentially is describing the horror and the tragedy of the Churban HaBayis, that people were reduced to such a level. Their whole psyche was completely
was completely deranged almost, and completely lost. And the horror of the situation is described in this way. But there are side lessons as well. But essentially, the main theme of the piece is really the theme of the fact that the nation reached that level. And I want just to say one thing over here right away. That and the purpose of the, whenever the Navi mentions an event, it never is the sensationalism of the event that the Navi is trying to point out, or even the personal horror. It's always tied to the Ummah. It's a reflection on the Ummah. Because, as I said, the whole concept of Avelus to Middash is based on the fact that every Jew has to realize that he could never, not possible for him to attain any good on himself away from the call. It's not possible. The Torah in Atzibur is in Rachav Olam Abba, because it means that that once Torah was given, and that's the Atam Tovim, the Bris. So and then Arvos began after they passed over the other. But the fate of each one of us is intricately tied to each other. And it's not possible to isolate your own faith. And that's why the Navi, because once there's Middash, once the system was given by Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is the way the Bris was constructed by Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can't escape it anymore. That's the Ten Tzolim Yom Kochem. Eisasher Yeshno Po, Eisasher Enenu Po. It's once the Dor Moshe accepted it, Doros Habom Achareyim are bound by it, and each individual's fate is tied up with the whole Knesset Yisrael, and you cannot separate it out. People imagine that they could. That if you imagine that you can have no part of Chum HaBayit, because then you cannot know what the good of the HaBayit is. But that's why if you look at the Navi does isolate certain horrible things, but it's always in terms of its reflection on what happened to this Ummah. That the Ummah was so downtrodden that the whole psychological things that we consider psychological laws were completely converted and completely mutated, changed. Yeah, but the interesting thing is there was a Kalir at the end. At the end, so the Eicha, he enunciates very clearly all the tragedies and all our complaints. But then in the end, he says an amazing thing. He says, "Ruach HaKodesh L'mula Marim." And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer to our Eicha? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? So he says, "Hoy al kol shechina yoroi." All my woe unto all my bad shechina. Masha hukram modim, the Esa Sher Osulam modim. They're very good at telling what happened, all the tragedy, and describing it very well, and the pain, and the suffering, and everything. But Esa Sher Osul, what they did, lo modim, that they don't talk about, that they don't tell. And that's really an exact interpretation of the pasuk in Eicha Dalet. In Tochalna Noshim Piryom, Mashmiya, but in Yehoreg the Migdash Hashem calling the Navi lo Mashmiya. That they don't talk about. In other words, the fact that they killed the Navi with giving them Musa with a train in the Migdash Hashem, that they don't talk about. So what is the Kaliyah? I mean, the Kaliyah is the Pasuk. What is the Pasuk telling us? The Pasuk is telling us this is the answer of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The answer of Kadosh Baruch Hu is that man is really incapable. Man can complain. He has a right to enunciate his own state before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to be his fault. But the fact is, the person has a right to do that. But the fact is that our evaluation is completely skewed. Because we only recognize very well all the pains that we suffer. But when it comes to a chet, we only begin to recognize what it means. Yehorid the Middash of Hashem calling enough. A person understands loving is one that can reach other individuals. If a Talmud Chacham reaches an individual and changes a person's life, and down the road is very doros of individuals whose lives were worthwhile existences. Not a person isn't too good at mourning. But if a person sees a physical life loss, then he's, of course, mourning. A life that's a wasted life, doesn't touch that. See? When it comes to a person's own tragedy, he feels with every fiber of his nature, he can sense it. When it comes to evaluating chet, which is an abstract thing, then he may recognize it, but he glosses over it somehow or other. It doesn't affect it. So it means to say that a human being cannot really make a judgment of what's just and what's not just. The horror that he depicts of the Chorban HaBayis he's able to do. But can he depict the horror of chet and the horror of Mikdash HaShem calling the Navi? Does he look at that with the same amount of horror? And really, he should look at that with 1,000 times more horror. Because that's dealing in the realm of Ruchnius. In the world that really exists. And that area, he simply doesn't sense. So that's what Rabbeinu Kalir. That's really the Rabbeinu Kalir is explaining, and he's explaining really the pasuk. So it's really a tzidkah din, and it's something again which requires a certain depth, and that's why the Rambam says the Talmud Chacham to be going on the Churban, because it requires a certain depth of knowledge to understand the horror of it. That everybody can do. The person saying, "Hey, yeah, I did something wrong, and therefore my score in Vashamayim is not good." That is a regular person to think that way. But a Talmud Chacham, it takes a Talmud Chacham to recognize what is chay, to understand what chay is, and that's really part. That's an essential component in mourning the loss of the Middash, the Chorban HaBayis. So the Chorban HaBayis, the real tragedy is the horror of chet, and that should really go the person towards truth. So it turns out, Rabbi Elazar Kalir, when we learn with the kinos, the whole kinos is really one step to bring a person to a totally deeper realization. That deeper realization should bring a person to a true truth. So, but you see, someone asked me, the question was raised that you heard of Mikdash Hashem kind of another, so wasn't my fault? But the answer is that after Matan Torah, no one can say that. You see, since Tisha B'Av is a tshuva, it's a tshuva, but it's not a personal tshuva. It's a personal tshuva that involves not just the person, but the Klal Yisrael. So the tshuva has to be framed that way as well. The tshuva has to include one's role in the kohol. The tshuva has to include not just how a person stands himself as a yochid before the Vashem, but how he stands insofar as a member of the of Klal Yisrael. And that tshuva demands that an individual recognize that if chatoyim are taking place, if corruption, that he's a part of that corruption. And Yehorid the Mikdash of Hashem Kohen V'Navi, who is responsible? The whole kohol is responsible. The whole Knesset Yisrael is responsible. And you see that the onus fell on the whole Knesset Yisrael. It seemed like an isolated case. The Melech got mad and he killed him because he didn't want to hear what he had to say. And he killed him. He said, "Melech did it, I didn't do it, I had nothing to do with it." Not, you have a lot to do with it. The whole Knesset saw a lot to do with it. Why? Because they weren't Melech. Because they're not Melech. Because the Melech can't do anything on his own. The Melech can only do something because the other people stand by and watch him. And the same thing is true with all forms of corruption. same thing is true with all forms of corruption. People stand by and allow the corruption to take place. They're chayav, they're responsible. What does the word of Chazal say? Why is the Talmud Chacham Mitzvah Slavon Adar? Why is the Talmud Chacham Menash? Al Shalom Michal Bedar. Because he wasn't Macha. And why isn't a person Macha? Because a person has tremendous desire and need to feel accepted. And because of that, he will not be Macha. That is an individual's responsibility. That really is an aspect of tshuva that a person should engage in personally. That on Tisha B'Av benogeya to the kohal, which means that a person must think in the chokev adoresh in his life and think how many times he doesn't do something because he knows he should be objective. He knows he should be. He should not be going alone. Of course, he has to be chacham, know how to object too, not just the president goes screaming. But many times, and even in small ways, an individual feel that, you know, I mean, a person comes over and talks to you during chazar for shots, and you answer him, you want to be, you don't want to hurt him, want to slight him. That is machayev you. And every time a call, and every time a call doesn't abide by Hilchas Tshuva properly. I mean, I'm just giving a small example. One example. I shouldn't say small. Tshuva's not a small thing. But a person's need for acceptance from other human beings prevents him from standing out and causes him to make concessions to the Hamon Am. And those concessions to the Hamon Am are really what destroy Klal Yisrael. All corruption is really everyone's obligation. Everyone's obligation. And I'll tell you something else. There are certain things that should be set straight. Certain things should be set straight, and people should not really give into it. And I'm not saying exactly how to do it, but I'm saying to give into it and just forget about it is definitely wrong. I'm speaking about people in Chinuch. And that is, for instance, everyone knows there's a big battle on whether you say Halal on Yom HaTzmut or you don't say Halal. But over here, it's funny. People who run to Rav Moshe's Shuvas for a Terem, they will not follow what Rav Moshe did on Yom HaTzmut, and they're not even concerned about it. Not only that, but they'll create tremendous machlokes if the people don't go along with their idea of Halal and Yom HaTzmut. Now, you see, the thing is like this. I'm not going to get involved in the Shaila or the Halachic Shaila. There's nothing. But there is here a very dangerous corruption of Allah. Something very insidious. It seems harmless, but it's very insidious and very dangerous. It's like one of the Talmidei Yeshiva. I don't know if I should mention his name, but I don't know if he has mentioned his name. But he mentioned, he said to him, look, he says, you know, there are people that don't make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, and I have been machmir not to make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. But not just me, it's the Rambam, the Shanyan, the Golem, the Chaim Brisker. So would you say that indicates that they had less of a love for Rosh Chodesh? So, of course not. So the point is that halacha has to be understood for what it is. And if you corrupt halacha and you make it into something else, and you try to make a halachic decision based not on halacha, not on the realms and the spheres of halacha, but on taking halacha and using it as a vehicle of my own expression based upon my own desire, then already going very close to the realm of Korach, going to the realm of where you're making the decision. It's not a sheyivchar Hashem lakadosh. It's your own. You want to do it. Oh, it's very nice you want to do it. But the question is not whether you want to do it. The question is, how is it in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that is clear. It's only good in his eyes if one is going according to his system, the system of Torah. And a system of Torah is not based upon whether a person wants to, whether a person is happy, even where the danger is, where it's something where he thinks that this is the proper way to relate to a Kaddish Baruch. He wants to show that he's expressing the Chesed Hashem. He's expressing how much he appreciates, his appreciation of the Chesed Hashem. That's all very nice. But those are precisely the areas where there's the greatest danger. Because once a person has that, he feels there's a license to do what he wants to, because he's doing the holy work. But our system does not work that. That's the system of the Ovdei Kachovim, and the Musim Harban have their own thing. We don't have that. We just have one, because everything emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we only have one way of doing it. That's only through the Torah. And in Halacha is not a free-for-all. It's not an area that's a free-for-all for every fool to come in and try to say that he's going to express through Halacha how he appreciates Chazdei Hashem. It just does not work that way. It's a very abstract, deep, involved system which can only be approached with the method that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us at Sinai, and it has nothing to do with whether you appreciate Eretz Yisrael, whether you do appreciate Eretz Yisrael, or whether Chalila person has some crazy idea that he doesn't appreciate. But I'm just saying it has nothing to do with that. It has to, saying Hallel and making a bracha has to do with Hilchos Brachos. And they should be the only way, the only one that can answer that question is a person with a Talmud Chacham and engages in the halacha based upon the halachic system. It has nothing to do with the appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. Nothing whatsoever. And this is something that once something like this is corrupted, then it means that we don't understand halacha in general. Then halacha becomes a vehicle of our own expression. And then a person can make a bracha with the Shem and Malchus and the Shech and Yonah when he's happy. For some reason, it has nothing to do where he doesn't have the matir of halacha. So then all of halacha falls into the hands of people that have no knowledge in the halachic system. And this is really the greatest tragedy. So I'm saying that we have to realize that part of the central idea, the Yehoi, the Midrash, the Shem, Kohen, the nothing, means that everybody has a responsibility. So the tshuva that we should do, that we're chayav to do, on Tisha B'Av, is a tshuva which is one in terms of our own position in the call, and how we relate to the call, and to make sure that we are not responsible for the corruption of the Torah and the Hadith that exists, unfortunately, in Kaddish. Okay, Zechut Gula Shlomo Meir Meir.